Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome tonight to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you here, and we ask that you join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us at Your Place Love Connection with our devotion? We will have Mark Bryant singing a song this evening, and if we could get Lester Carver to read 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter. What's the verses, Dr. Nix?
11 through 20.
11 through 20. And if we could have Eric, are you there?
Yeah.
Would you offer
What's
a prayer
up?
This evening? Thank you so much. Can we begin our devotion?
Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedules to visit Your Place Christian Church. Today, this evening, we'll be starting with our devotion, Simply Sing, We Exalt Thee. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. We exalt thee, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord.
I'll be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verses 11 through 20 in the King James Version. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no more rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my hand, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 20 in the King James Version.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this Tuesday evening from all over this country to study your word. We ask that you would bless the leader of our discussion tonight. May you bless the thoughts, the actions, the conversation. May it be revealing to those that listen, Father, that it may help to move us in a way to serve you in righteousness and truth. For we, Father, are only thy children. We have fallen short of that glory, but through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us this opportunity to come before your throne of mercy. So we are eternally grateful. We thank you for all that are here. We thank you for those that will be joining us, and we thank you for those who would have desire to come, but other life matters take precedence right now. Father, my humble request is, Father, that you would reveal yourself through the teachings of thy word and through the reading of thy word this evening, that it may prick our hearts to guide and direct us to serve you as we were called to. For you breathed the breath of life into mankind and made him a living soul. And for all that we do, Father, we should be striving to get back to you. So have your way in this study, that we may show ourselves approved at a later date. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
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 Well, we are so grateful for devotion. What a wonderful devotion today. And we're just thankful to be here and to share with you tonight on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. If you'd like to join us, please feel free to call in to 646-478-4932. As we will be studying from the topic this evening, a plan for success. Our foundational text is 2 Chronicles 7:14, and Dr. Nix will be our instructor for tonight. Our first week we dealt with who are the people of God. We talked last week about can we humble ourselves and pray. And tonight we're going to look at the subject, how do we seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. Dr. Nix?
I ask that the scripture be read, 2 Chronicles 7:11 through 20, because we know that even though there was a great celebration and Solomon built a temple, that God gave two courses that could happen. First, God would bless the house of Israel if they obeyed him. And also, if they did not obey God, that God would punish them and send them away. And we know that, in fact, Solomon followed other gods, as did other leaders after him. And Israel, even though they had the temple, the beautiful temple, that temple was destroyed, and they were sent away to Babylon. But the wonderful thing about this is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and Lester read it, but God is telling them that even if they suffer, even though they mess up, even though pestilence would come and things would be destroyed, and that all they had to do was to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, a people that are called by his name, and then God would hear from heaven and would forgive their sins and heal their land. And it took a long time, and Israel just went up and down and up and down, and in believing God and doing what God would have them to do. And I submit that we need a healing in our land. And there is a plan for success. And that same plan that Israel was given by God, we have been given also, because we are a part of Abraham's family now. All believers are a part of Abraham. All believers are God's people and believers in Christ. And in Romans 9, 22 through 26, and 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, and there's scripture after scripture that relates that we are now a part of God's people. And the text tells us that we should seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. And I'd just like to begin the study tonight and ask, what does that mean to you? To seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways.
This is Lester Carver here. And to me, I believe that when we humble ourselves to God, that we stop serving money, we stop pleasing people, we stop leaning to our own understanding, and we stop operating out of our own strength. And when we pray and we seek God's face, I believe that what we do is the opposite of that, and that we seek to please God, we seek to serve God, we seek to trust God, and we seek to operate in absolute faith.
Amen. Anyone else? Who else do we have on the line? Eric, what does that mean to you, to seek God's face? Dr. Susie?
This is Mark. I think it's really important that we're able to seek God's face. Seeking God is all different kind of ways that we can seek God. You know, for us today, I think we can seek God as we do daily devotions. We can seek God in prayer. We can seek God as we turn away from what we're doing towards God, asking God to lead, God, and direct. I mean, so many different ways that the Bible shows us how God will hear us, and then to be obedient to God. So I think that's a way that we can see God. Go ahead, Mark. I know you were wanting to jump in there.
When I think about seeking God's face, I think about giving him reverence. And this is, a specific prescription on what we can do if we want our lands to be healed. And he's specifically telling us that we need to seek him, no one else but him, and to turn from those wicked ways of that which we have, and to hear from heaven, and he will heal our lands.
Amen. Well, we're going to look at that, and all those are good responses to what we should do as far as seeking God's face. I think we can understand what it means to turn from our wicked ways, but sometimes to seek God's face may be a little bit abstract for some. But I want to look at a few scriptures here. Find Exodus chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. And somebody get Psalm 105, 1 through 5. Somebody got one of those scriptures for us? Exodus 6, 24 through 27.
I have Psalm 105.
Okay.
Exodus 6:1-27.
24-27.
Dr. Nash, I have Exodus 6:24-27
okay,
read, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Exodus 6:24 reads, the sons of Korah were Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. The descendants became the clans of Korah. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she gave birth to his son Phinehas. These are the ancestors of the Levite family listed according to their clans. That's 24 and 25.
I'm sorry. That's not the right one I wanted to get. Get Numbers. Numbers 6, 24
okay, numbers,
27.
Which, number 6. I've got number 6 right now. I can read that, 24 and 25 as well. Number 6:24 reads, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. That's 24
and 27. Read 26 and 27.
26 says, may the Lord, 26 says, may the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. 27, whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. I'm going to read it once more. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his son bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them.
Amen. So, Dr. Susie, what does that say to you about, and this is about God's face shining upon the children of Israel. What does God's face shining upon the children of Israel do for them?
Well, anytime we can have God's favor, it's truly a blessing, Dr. Nooks. And I think that's why tonight we, you know, as you talked about earlier, we want to be in God's graces. We want to be in obedient to God's will so that we can receive God's favor versus God's cursings or wrath. And so this is a way that they can do that. And Aaron, the Lord is saying to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people with this special blessing. And that's what he says. If the Lord will bless them, will smile on them, show them favor, and give them peace. And when, you know, that's what he says. Aaron and his sons bless the people in his name. Then God, that's when God will bless them. And so I guess God will tell them when to do that. You know, when Israel has been obedient to what it is that God said for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is Eric. This is Eric. But simply for me is this, and I am the simple one for the group, at least try to be, is that if you seek God's face and follow God, God will protect you and meet all of your needs. Doesn't matter what you're going through, what has happened to you, God will make it so that you will be okay.
Amen.
I mean, that's just a simple fact for me, is that as I seek his face and seek to do his will, and by no means am I perfect at it, but because I am seeking his face, when I do err, he will prick my heart and I can ask for forgiveness and make atonement and do the stuff that I need to do. But simply put, that if you are seeking God's face, and that's what he told Solomon, is that, you know, when you come to your senses and turn back to me, I will look after you. I will take care of you no matter what's going on. I will restore. And I think that's the part that we as Christians don't take God up on, is that if when we come to our senses, because that's a part of it, that then he will restore us to favor with him and even in our circumstances.
Well, why do you think, Eric, that it's so hard? Or first of all, do you think we do that as we should? And if not, why?
I don't think we do it because we think it's too simple. I mean, we always think that we've got to have a part in it, or it's got to be something more to it than just seeking God and asking for forgiveness and following His instructions. We think it's too simple. We believe that it's got to be more than what it is. And the fact of the matter is, it's just that simple.
Amen. Amen. So, Lester, do you have Psalm 105?
Which verses?
1 through 5.
Entire, 1 through 5, yes, sir. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
Amen. So, Lester, what are they talking about here with all this seeking?
Well, they are really remembering the things that he did for them all the way since the time of Abraham, since the promise and covenant was made to Abraham, and then ultimately down to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. And God is calling on them to remember the mighty things that he has done all of this time, how he has held true to his word.
Amen.
Yeah,
this is Dr. Susie. Go ahead, Eric.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that that's all God has ever told us to do, is to seek his face and remember and proclaim his greatness, telling everyone what he has done in our lives. That's witnessing. That's telling our story at the purest form, is telling what God has done for us. And there again, it's a simple thing. There's nothing predicated on us being, you know, perfect or us putting in all the work, because, you know, God doesn't need our work to make it work. I mean, he doesn't need our work. And the Mississippi Mass Choir has a song from, I think it's 1990. Or 89, it says, "Hold on, old soldier." And in a verse in it, it says, "You only need to get on your knees and look back at what God has already done for you to know what he can do for you."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many of us can really, you know, testify of all that God has done for us, but yet when the next test comes, we get scared, we get frightened, you did that, but you can't do this. And that's what the children of Israel did. I mean, he gave them water from a rock. He gave them food from heaven, manna. He gave them,
amen,
you know, quail so much that it gagged them when they ate it. I mean, but yet he couldn't do this, or he can't do that, or he can't remove those folks who's living in the land that he promised to us. So then we become wishy-washy.
Yeah,
we can't be double-minded and serve God.
This is Dr. Susie, and the interesting thing to me here is when we look at the context of this text is that the children of Israel, Solomon has just finished building the temple according to God's specs and they are actually... This is such a beautiful, beautiful temple. And what's interesting is that God was so pleased that he sent this fire down to consume the sacrifices to let the people know. And this was kind of like a theophany of God being present among the people. They were so impressed that they fell on their faces. And then they covenanted to be faithful to God, to be you know, loyal to God, which is what they always did when they got in trouble or when they were afraid or when God manifested himself in such a majestic way, that it reminded them of who they were and who God was. And I think sometimes in our lives we get to those junctions where we're reminded of who God is in our lives, and then we are humbled. And I think it's at this place, a place of humility, that God's people are. And God loves them so much that he's just giving them a pointer. He's saying, now look, you know, I know who you are. You know, that's what I'm so excited about God, is because God knows us. He knows that we'll fall short. God knows that we aren't perfect. But he says all you have to do in your humanity is turn back, humble yourself.
Amen.
And I will bless you. I'll turn away from whatever you're doing and turn to me. And that's what I love so much about David. David wasn't perfect. David fell short a lot. David did a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't perfect. But you know what he did do? It's no matter what he did, he went running back to God. And that's what I'm excited about. That's what I want to do. No matter what, when I fall short, when I don't understand, when I'm not clear, I want to be on my knees appealing, Lord, what would you have me do so that I can be in line with God's will and God's blessings and God's favor.
Amen. Amen. Mark, what do you think about that?
I think you said Mark.
Mark. Yeah, Mark. Is he on mute?
Well, go ahead, Lester. He
might be. I think it reminds me that we need to remember that during the Old Testament, they did not have the degree of grace and mercy that we have today, in that after the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ and the broken body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, we have available to us new grace, which is God's enabling power and God's unmerited favor, and we have new mercy, which is God's merited judgment withheld every day. And it's new to us every day because we're going to need it every day, because every day we're going to mess up, and every day we're going to be blessed in
Amen.
Ways we don't deserve to be blessed. And at the beginning of the day, we need to learn to just receive it and thank God for it and understand that the reason we're going to need it is so that we don't accidentally allow ourselves to be disqualified or shamed away from doing the work that God has for us to do that day. That's why we want to receive it at the beginning of the day, because it is for us, and yet it's not for us. It's so that we can glorify God and do whatever he gives us to do without being talked out of it because we're not completely perfect according to our own standards. We need to know that it's the blood of Christ that makes us perfect, and the Holy Spirit within us that makes us powerful enough to do anything God asks us to do.
Amen.
Is there anybody else on the line who would like
Amen.
To talk about that?
This is Mark. This is Mark now. When I listen to that, which has been said, it still goes back to a focus on God, and a focus that I think, as Lester said, I'll give you mercy. I'll give you grace. I will heal your land, but you must hear my voice. You must seek my face. You must have faith in me, and then I will heal your land. I will hear your prayer. I will direct your path. You know, and it's almost like a covenant where God is letting us know that he should be the forefront of our lives in that which we do, that which we say, the direction that we go, because his extraordinary appointment or ordinary changes the whole dynamics of whatever we do
and whatever happens as a result of what we do.
This is Eric again. I want to add that in that passage, you know, God is pleased at the obedience of Solomon in carrying out the building of the temple, the specs and all of that, and he's very pleased at that. And I think that's something that we overlook, is that God is pleased when we are obedient. And so that tells God that we can do this. When our mindset is to do that, we can do that. And it's obvious to me because at 13, and at times I may shut up the heaven so that no rain falls, or I may command locusts to devour your crops, or I might send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. I will listen to every prayer made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be my home forever. And, of course, there are other scriptures where he says that even when they become exiles, if they look towards where the temple was and pray, that he would hear. And so I think that's the piece that we can't disregard, is that the obedience of being obedient to God is the blessing in itself.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Eric, and Dr. Nix, I guess what it reminded me of is, you know, Eric, when I was a kid and I was spending time with my grandmother, it was the fact that when she asked me to do something, that I pleased her, that made me feel awesome. And I think it's the same way it is with those of us who love the Lord. When we're obedient to that which God has us to do, it's just the fact that we know we're pleasing God that is joy. That's a part of though, you know, not to mention the consequences of whatever that is that God may do as a result of it, but the fact that we please God, that we know we gave God what, you know, our best, is for many of us as God's Christians, as God's servants, a special blessing in itself. So I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Amen. And when I look at this, it's not prescriptive. It's not you know, my people, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face. But I think it describes who we are as Christians. And like you're saying, Dr. Susie, when you think you are doing something that is right in God's sight, and as servants of God, it makes you feel good to serve, to do what God would have you to do. That makes all the difference in the world, but it's not that you have to do point by point by point. It's the person that is humbled and the person that is God's, a person that is a part of God, this is who you are. You will seek God's face. You will humble yourself and pray and turn from your wicked ways, or at least you'll try to. But that's who we should be, and not, you know, looking at point by point by point, but instead, this is who I am, and it pleases me to please God. That does so much for me as a servant of God, as a person, as a part of God. My spirit touches God's spirit. God's spirit touches my spirit. And I feel renewed when I feel that I'm doing something that pleases God.
Amen.
Amen.
How does that make you all feel? And I think Dr. Susie's already expressed how it makes her feel. There's two more things I wanted to get to. Could somebody read Exodus 33:14-15 for us? And then somebody find
1 Kings 8:46-52.
Yes.
And the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses. I will give you rest. Everything will be fine with you. Then Moses said, if you don't go with us personally, don't let us move a step from this place. If you don't go with us, how will anyone ever know that your people and I have found favor with you? How else will they know that we are special and distinct from all other people of the earth? And the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for you have found favor with me, and you are my friend. I actually read through 18. So,
what does that say to you, Eric?
Well, that says to me that, you know, if you are doing what God has asked you to do, that God is going to be with you. He's not going to leave you, and He's not. I mean, even for He will be with us as He will be with Moses, and to be called a friend of the Most High is about the highest honor from my perspective that you could be called to be a friend of God. I mean, that's an awesome thought, to be a friend of God. And we do have that right. I mean, you know, some scripture calls us heirs and joint heirs and children, but you know, that's being in the family, but a friend will sometimes do more than family members will in our society.
And a friend,
like God, but in
and
our
Eric, society. and a friend you get to choose. That's what I like about it. As a friend, you get to choose your friend.
Amen. And in John 15, you know, Jesus said that we're His friend. You know, and in Matthew 28, you know, I'll be with you to the end of the world. For God to be with us and for us to be God's friend, that's something to rejoice about. I mean, so often people leave you, and so often we're alone, and sometimes when we serve, sometimes serving is a lonely position. But to know that God is with you and to feel God's presence with you and to be in a position that says, God, if you're not going to go with me, I'm not going to take one more step. Hallelujah. I mean, that's
Amen. And what's exciting about that, Dr. Nooks, is that is the plan for success, is to have God with you, to be in God's favor, to do things God's way, to be in God's will. That is the plan for success.
That is, but we do know that most of us are taking steps, and God hasn't even told us to take a step.
Some of us, aren't even consulting God, so how can God give us directions if we don't ask God?
And there lies our problem of why we have to endure as much as we have to endure. I mean, the children of Israel didn't have to endure nearly the stuff that they had to endure if they'd have continued in the way that they started. But this is Eric, and I've always questioned, why is it that when we get a little bit removed from something that God has done for us, we can't seem to remember. So we go off into our own instead of saying, okay, I know that He's done this. I know that He will do this. I need to stay close. I need to, you know, stay in His path. I need to stay in His grace, His honor. I need to stay in prayer. I need to stay in fellowship. You know, it seems that the further we get from the miracle or the blessing that we get, we just kind of lose our minds.
Yeah. We do. And I think that's why Peter reminds us that we, it's so important for us to remember and for us to remind each other of the goodness of God and where we've come from and what we have and who we are and the fact that we have God as a friend, God is present with us. I think this is a part of the battle of Satan when we're battling wickedness in high places, you know, and because Satan is working on our minds. And it's like we have some kind of amnesia. I mean, just like you said, Eric, and the children of Israel did this. As soon as they got away from the blessing, they turned away from God. And as soon as we get away from the blessing for just a little while, go ahead, Dr. Susan.
No, I was just saying, Dr. Nix, it's hard for some people who are listening out there because many people don't believe in Satan. Some people don't believe that their enemy, the adversary, exists. And so,
well, this is Eric. That's kind of hard not to. I mean, the scripture clearly tells us that. So this is 1 Peter 5, 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 6. Well, actually, I'm going to start at verse 8. Be careful, watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. And his kindness, God calls you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, so, you know, and that's Satan's job. And I think the greatest weapon that Satan has is making us forget.
People don't
having us to turn away from
us not
the
believe.
World, you know. Yeah, that's true too, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, and if we don't believe
and,
it,
you know,
exists,
we have Ephesians.
Then go ahead, Dr. Nick.
I was just going to say we have Ephesians 6, you know, about putting on the armor of God. And our fight is not against human beings. It is against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. It is against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So, I mean, yeah, you were saying that there maybe someone out there that doesn't believe in Satan, but this is what we battle against. And we need to understand that we are in a battle. We're not just sitting around here and not being under attack. Our minds are being attacked. Our spirit is being attacked. We are under attack. And when you realize that you're
Well, this is Dr. Susan.
Go ahead.
When we realize we're under attack, what did you finish your thought? Go ahead and finish your thought. When you realize we're under attack, what?
Then we should prepare for battle. We should be prepared for battle. And
Amen.
If we realize that we are under attack, then we should realize that when these things happen to us, that it is an attack from Satan. It's an attack from spiritual wickedness in high places.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many things are not physical, but they're spiritual. And we as spiritual beings, and a lot of people don't believe that they believe in a spiritual, but I do. And I believe that, you know, we are being attacked in our spirit, and our minds need to be protected, and we need to put up, and we need to call on God because we can't do it by ourselves. But as long as we believe that there's nothing out there and that we're not under attack, then we're easy prey.
Well, isn't there,
Amen.
I want you to say it, but I want to get this point. Isn't that the greatest trick for the devil to make people think that he didn't exist? Isn't that the greatest trick?
Oh, absolutely. Amen.
This is where
what
I
do you think, Brother Lester?
Oh, I believe that.
Go ahead, Mark.
That, oh, go ahead, Mark.
I would even go further. Where he mentioned that we should be prepared when things happen. I think we should be prepared before they happen because we recognize we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spirits and principalities. And Dr. Nix is totally correct that things start in the spirit before they become natural. And I think we have to recognize that the fight just doesn't start when we see it. The start has already been, the fight has already begun way before then. It's like when a business deal happens and you see it in the newspaper, the business deal is already done. We have to, you know, put on our armor of God and prepare each and every day for battle, whether we see it or whether we don't. We must recognize that the fight is against us and our families and whatever we do, and we have to prepare even beforehand.
This is Eric. Mark, you're absolutely right, and I submit from my perspective that the fight starts as soon as you accept Christ. The devil don't have to worry about you if you haven't accepted Christ because you're already kind of his. But at the moment you accept Christ, that battle has started.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Dr. Susie, and I guess what I wanted to look at is, as we're talking about the enemy, how it's the enemy's job, or the enemy perceives that it's the enemy's job to hinder us from being successful. And this is what our Bible study is about tonight, is God's plan for success. It's a plan for success, and that plan for success, as Dr. Nix has easily articulated, is that we would be obedient to God, is that we would be in God's will and God's favor. And I think that many of us, without even having to be into that gospel, that prosperity gospel thing, is that we know that God wants for God's children to be successful. We know that God wants God's children to achieve and to grow and to have things and to be blessed. Because what the scripture says, father would give his son a snake when he asks for fish? And so God knows our needs, our desires, because if he takes care of the lilies of the field so easily, you know God is going to take care of us. So when we have success, which we do in Christ, we can and we will. We need to understand that there are agents against us. So we have to be faithful. We have to be strong. We have to stay in God's favor. We have to be obedient to God's will so that whatever it is that God has for us, that we can stand in it. That God will give us exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask for or imagine. And believe that God, when we are doing God's will, when we are understanding God's love, that God will bless us abundantly and give us God's favor according to God's word that we read tonight.
Well,
now, I mean, that abundance looks differently. What'd you say, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I have a somewhat simpler there again. Key to that is that, you know, we within ourselves have to define what that success looks like for us. But where most of us go wrong is that success is in things, it's in jobs, it's in paychecks, it's in cars, it's in houses, it's in you know, church sizes, it's in things that really don't matter to God. Success for me is being what God has called me to be, because I do know that if I do that, God's going to meet my need, because everything that I may not, that I may ask for may not be beneficial for me. And so if I strive
right
daily to be what God has asked me to be, I know that God is going to meet my needs. And that really is all
amen
I could ever ask for. Now, the other
amen
stuff, no, that's kind of just gravy.
Yes, yes. This is Lester Carver here. One of the things that I thought about when you were talking about the spiritual warfare is what it says in Galatians 5, where it says the flesh wars against the spirit for the attention
Amen.
Of the soul. And your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And the one that's going to win this battle between the flesh and the spirit is the one that you feed the most. So if you are feeding your flesh more than you are feeding your spirit, then your flesh is going to dominate the attention of your mind, will, and emotions. But if you are feeding your spirit through prayer, through study of the word, through fasting, through fellowship with like-minded believers, then your spirit is going to win the dominance over your soul, and you are going to prevail in this battle between the flesh and the spirit. But your soul is so valuable. Your mind, will, and emotion, your attention, what you devote your focus to is what is at stake. And the one that wins is the one that you feed the most.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is 7:52.
Do we need to stop now?
You
want to
wrap that up, Dr.
Nell?
You go ahead and make your final statement, and then.
Okay, I just wanted to read a scripture, and getting to the point of turning away from wickedness, and you know, turning away. To me means repentance, and so we need to have a repentant spirit. But in Isaiah 1:10-20, and this has to do with sacrifice and worship, and God gets tired of that if we really aren't the people of God. This is what the scripture says. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbath, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. For your sins are like scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I just wanted to end with that text. And I don't know if we have any more time now, but it's 7:54 now.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Nix, for that lesson. As we end it on, feel free to join us every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our focus will continue to be one for one more week, a plan for success. Would like to ask now for prayer request for one person. Lester, would you close us in prayer tonight? And as we lift up prayer requests, I want to lift up Brett. Brett has been sick and had his surgery, so we're asking for healing for him and that we support him in prayer. We want to also lift up Sean as we pray, and Dr. Edwards,
Mark, did you have any prayer requests, or Lester, or any of you? Eric?
Just prayer
Mary,
for...
Mary, did you have a request?
Prayer for my daughter, my ex-wife, and all of our businesses and jobs.
Amen. Anyone else have prayer requests? I want to lift up my son James and my daughter Sydney and myself, that the Lord would be with us and strengthen us, that we would have health during this winter season and safety. Job opportunities as well. Anyone else? Eric or Mary or Dr. Mike, Pastor Mike, anybody else? Any prayer requests?
This is James. I'm praying for strength for God's people because these are trying times, and I know myself, I get drained, and I just pray for strength for God's people.
I ask prayer for Ferguson as well, Dr. Nutt, Eric, and Lester, that we will be praying for Ferguson and the dilemma that's coming close to us. Anyone else? Can we go ahead and have the prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening.
Is there no other person?
And Sean, I thank you for Dr. Edwards and his family. I thank you for my father's housing situation and finances. I thank you for Mark's wife and his daughter. I thank you for you blessing them and touching his wife's body right now. God, Father, I thank you for you just blessing Dr. Beaver's family, God. I thank you for you blessing each and every member of our household. I thank you for you providing strength for your people as they serve you and they draw all men unto you, God. Father, I thank you for the people in Ferguson, all those people in Missouri just being put at peace and at ease. I thank you for justice prevailing. I thank you for you working your mighty hand in that situation, God, and allowing justice to prevail. Father, I thank you for all that you have given us to do. I thank you for the fellowship that we have here on this line. And Father, I thank you for each and every one of us having a blessed evening and a pleasant sleep. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 We ask also that as we look forward into the holiday season, that you would please lift up those who are poor and homeless and who don't have a church or a place to go to for the holiday, who don't have food, who are in this inclement weather with no gloves or coats. Just asking that you would be with those people and lift up prayers for them. Also, if there's anything else that you think that we could do on the radio ministry for the holiday season, we ask that you send in, write in to Dr. Susie. Hello? That you write in to Dr. Susie at loveconnection@gmail.com. This is drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Any requests to empower us to be effective for the Bible study. We just thank you so much for this evening, and we just ask that you join us again next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study.